Let's go to Revelation 19:10. Revelation, you know where that is? Easy to find. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is good. Now walk with me. Stay with me. Get your revelator on. Okay. Revelation 19:10, and I fell at his feet to worship him. He's talking, this is an angel. And he said unto me, see that thou do it not. I'm a fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay. Now, we'll get back here in just a minute. Now, what we've been doing is talking about hearing the voice of God. So the last few weeks I was presenting, the last two times we were together, presenting something to you about, you remember, creation and formation, okay, and about the defining moment of Pentecost, what was really involved there. You remember that? And so what we did was we called it Days of Heaven on Earth. Now, if you didn't hear those, go get those off the archives and listen to Wednesday and Sunday, because I'm not going to go back there, and you're going to need to know what I said there to continue here. So you can do that. It's called Days of Heaven on Earth. Now, so what we were looking at in those verses is that God created man, and then he formed him. Yeah. Right. So man's like a dip cone. Who's created in his spirit, and then they dipped him in the dirt. Okay? That's the truth. And the reason you need to know that, church, the reason I'm trying to get that into your thinking is because you need to live from your spirit. Because your spirit is where you have the connection to God Almighty. Okay. Now, so then what we did was, so we looked at Genesis 1 and 2, and we said that God's made in, man's made in God's image. And so we need to learn to discern. And so then when we looked at Pentecost, we learned that God at that time opened the heavenly realm. And the Holy Spirit then was released to all men. Listen, saved and unsaved. Saved and unsaved on that day heard. So we didn't just have those participating. The spectators actually had the same offer.
Right. Okay.
And so what happened then is these 100, you know, we're always, well, that's when people got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, 120 did, but 3,000 got saved.
Right.
Okay. And so they heard something they hadn't heard before. And what we said was, on the day of Pentecost was the day when the spirit realm opened up. So there's no excuse for any human on the earth to say they can't hear God speaking to them. Okay. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Say amen. I need to hear you. Okay. So, there's no excuse. Now, what I want to do tonight is go deeper. And you know how I feel about the word. I am a word person, a word preacher. And the word is the more sure word. It will anchor you. But tonight I want to talk to you about the prophetic. And what I want to talk to you about tonight is the four prophetic thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Jesus. Anatomies, we'll call them. Mm-hmm. The four prophetic anatomies. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so I'm going to give you the four, and then I'm going to teach you each one. Okay? So number one, anatomy, the spirit of prophecy. You got it? Mm-hmm. Number two, the gift of prophecy. Number three, the office of the prophet. Got it? Number four, friend of God. The friend of God. Okay. Now, the spirit of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, the office of the prophet, and the friend of God. Now, why do we want to talk about this anyway? I'm not going to spend a lot of time here because obviously you've met me and you come to this church. So you already know that we believe in the prophetic. There are churches who will teach against it, but they haven't read all of the Bible. I don't know why. Well, no, I do know why. And let me just touch on that very quickly. Pastors don't want things to get out of order. And they do not appreciate, and I will tell you, I don't appreciate parking lot prophets myself. I don't appreciate everyone going around giving words as people go out the door. I think that sometimes there's an unction on people and it could be right, but just someone deciding they're going to prophesy to everyone in the church every Sunday, I don't really appreciate that all that much. But I do know this. We never want to stifle Holy Spirit in the meetings. We want to do what he wants to do. And we don't want to stop the gifts operating in the body of Christ. And so what you have to learn to do is handle your meetings and have people understand what the meeting is for. For example, tonight is what we call a teaching meeting. That's the purpose. So that's what we're going to do, see? But there are some nights when, well, yesterday we had a ding-dang-do in here. I mean, everybody was prophesying and praying, and that's what that meeting was for.
Right.
So, and we're, things have come out that we're about to birth another meeting that will facilitate that very thing. I like it when it's birthed out of the Spirit. I don't like to come up with programs. Yeah. So you have to understand that a lot of pastors don't want wildfire because they don't want their sheep getting hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also believe there's a way to do things so that people can get what they need and operate in what they're wearing. Okay. Now, so number one, the spirit of prophecy. I'm going to read that same scripture again. It says, I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see, thou do it not. I am a fellow servant of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. So worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So the testimony are the evidence that Jesus is in the room. The evidence that Jesus is in the room is the spirit of prophecy. That's what that scripture said. Holy Spirit is a prophet. Thank you for your enthusiasm. So it is his first office to prophesy and point to Jesus. That's what Holy Spirit does. Holy Spirit is a prophet. So every born again believer now is born into the realm of the realm. Say realm. Every born again believer is born into the realm of Holy Spirit. Come on. Don't drift off. Come with me. So, the realm. So just like Adam, we were born in the Spirit. The Spirit is a person and the Spirit is a realm. Come on. This is very important. So it's like this, just like a fish needs water to swim in, okay? Mm-hmm. We need the realm of the Holy Spirit to hear the voice of God. Well, I hope you just got that. Because you're not just going to get it out of the particles of the air. The Holy Spirit governs the fourth dimension in the earth. He governs the fourth dimension. He aligns our bodies in the spirit so that our born again spirits can fellowship with God. All right. Now, 2 Corinthians 13:14, if you'll put it up there, y'all can just watch the screen a little bit here. The grace of our Lord, of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. So this is what's happening. Adam lived in the realm. He was in the realm of, he was in the fourth dimension. And he was also in the third dimension. He was doing both. He fell to the third dimension. Jesus, you were living in the third dimension, but when you received Jesus, he pulled you up to the fourth dimension. So your spirit man in you can operate in the fourth dimension with Papa. And still function as form in this world. Okay. So, that's how he's able to communicate with God, because he's staying in that realm. Now, the spirit of prophecy, you need to get this clear now. The spirit of prophecy lives in the born again believer as revelation, but he also operates not in the world, not in the world, but on the world in a format known as prophecy. I'm going to say that to you again, just so make sure you're getting what I'm saying. You're going to get this more as we go. The spirit of prophecy lives in a born again believer. So as revelation, yeah. Y'all get that?
Yeah.
You have that knowing things are revealed to you. You get it. Mm-hmm. Okay. But he also operates in the world system. Not in the world, on it.
Yeah.
I'll give you some examples in just a minute. Let me trail down here and we'll get it. Mm-hmm. The point I want to make to you is they're not the same. Okay, it's not the same. Don't just go, well, it's all the same. The Holy Spirit's everywhere and the Holy Spirit's in me. And yes, but there's a different function going on with him. And if you can get this, it's going to change your prayer life. It's going to change your prosperity life. It's going to change your life, period. Okay. And it's going to put you right in the middle of the awakening of God. Okay. So the spirit of prophecy lives in the born-again believer is revelation. And then he comes on the world. Revelation, listen. Revelation only belongs to the children of God.
Yeah.
That's why people don't get you.
Yeah.
That's why the people that are not of God will say, well, I ain't read that Bible. I don't get a thing out of it. Uh-huh. But you get something out of it because you're born again into the spirit dimension, and the spirit is the revelator of that word. This is not new to you. Just walk with me. Mm-hmm. But revelation belongs to you. But listen, prophecy, you're going to see how this connects with what we talked about Sunday. Mm-hmm. But prophecy belongs to the saved and unsaved.
Yeah.
You with me?
Yeah.
Revelation is yours.
Yes.
Prophecy is yours, but prophecy is also for the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, keep going. Uh-huh. Keep going with me. Because this is going to be helpful to you. A dream is prophecy. A vision is prophecy. But a revelation is demystifying the dreams and the visions. A realm that God has kept from the world. I'm going to prove it to you scripturally. He's kept that from the world. Deuteronomy 29:29, if you'll put it up. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that they may do all the words of this law or this word. Now, so let's think about this. God gives a dream to a king, or he could give a dream to an unsaved loved one. Here's the news to that. God is not revealing himself. He's concealing himself. Walk with me. You're going to get this. It is for the born again children to reveal the secret, which is foolishness to the world. See, 1 Corinthians 2:14, if you'll put it up. But the natural man receives not the things of the spirit, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So this doesn't mean God doesn't engage with the natural man. He engages with him. It means that the natural man can't always comprehend what God is doing. And he doesn't even always understand that he's receiving something from God. I don't know why I'm doing this. Man, I had this dream and it sure was strange. Go get Joseph out of jail so somebody could tell me what it means. See? So it took a person of God to tell Pharaoh what his dream was about. It took Daniel to tell Nebuchadnezzar what his dream was about. Hey, it took Peter to tell Cornelius what his dream was about. So can you see how the Holy Spirit is working? He's moving, but it takes the body of Christ to come in and make the reveal. This is good. So, praise the Lord for Joseph and Daniel and Paul. Amen. Peter, I mean. So what they did, this is what I want you to get at. They did that by the spirit of prophecy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
See, Pharaoh had the dream by the spirit of prophecy.
Yeah.
Now, Joseph is not a born-again Christian. He had the revelation by the spirit of prophecy. But Peter came at it a different way because he was born again. So revelation came in him and through him. And what happened? The whole household. Think about it. Now, once again, the spirit of prophecy is the evidence of Jesus being in the room. The prophet Joel had a name for this. He called it outpouring. He called it outpouring. Okay? So, this is what we see. The outpouring is a season where Holy Spirit will invade chambers of the children, old men, youth, kings, presidents, witches, Democrats, Republicans, waiters, doorkeepers, Muslims, Hindus, and Buddhists.
Amen.
That's what outpouring will do.
Yeah.
Outpouring will go to Fuzzy's Corner.
Yes. Yeah, man.
See, y'all know where it is, don't you? Okay. So, yeah, we know. But that's the truth. An outpouring's gonna go. The spirit of prophecy is gonna go. And it's like, a flood. But did you notice it's called outpouring? Outpouring. Poured out. On the out. On the out. Okay, now, good. So, here's the thing, the indwelling spirit has a bias. Holy Ghost has a preference. But when the same Holy Spirit that is in born again believers is poured out upon the world, then we call that the spirit of prophecy. When I get to the next ones, you'll go, oh, okay. If you haven't yet, you're going to get it. Don't worry. You're going to get it because you have the power to get it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now remember Saul. Do you remember what the prophet said? He said, now, I'm going to anoint you and you're going to go down here and you're going to get favor and you're going to have recovery. They found your donkeys and you're going to get your food back but you're going to go down the road here and all this favor and everything and you're going to run into a company of prophets and you will prophesy with them. What happened to him? Outpouring or spirit of prophecy. Have you ever noticed that when you get around a prophet, you can prophesy?
Yeah.
You just feel something coming on you. And you can usually operate in that. When someone that operates in it a whole lot, you boy, you're just in it. You just, it just come on you, and you're kind of like going, well, I don't know that I've ever done that before, but boy, it's just coming on out of me. It's because there's something going on in the realm around you. Amen. Church, yeah. I'm talking about the glory.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, so the spirit of prophecy is contagious. And it happens most of the time in worship. So when you lift up the name of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy tends to manifest. That's why when we get to going up here, a lot of times I believe in preaching the word so people can have faith so they can be healed. But a lot of times we're getting so high on Sunday mornings that right then people will get healed because of the glory that's already manifesting in the room. And we've had some wonderful reports already of people getting healed, their life changed. Boy, we've had a lot of great things happening lately. So, now I'm going to tell you this, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is a generational promise as well. And this, now I want you to hear me. Hear me on this. You can steward an outpouring within your neighborhood by releasing the atmosphere of worship in your house. What? Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then your neighbors are going to show up and start talking to you about these crazy dreams that they've been having. Yeah. Man, I got to tell you, you know anything? You go to church, don't you? I need you to tell me what this means. I've been having this kind of dream. I've been having this kind of feeling. I've been doing, yeah, yeah, oh yeah. You by your little old self worshiping God in your house, in your car, wherever you are, you notice people beginning to go, well, or in your neighborhood, they're around you all the time, and you'll be ministering to the whole neighborhood. Amen. My neighbors are born again believers, Holy Ghost. Yeah, praise the Lord. Anyway, so what we see here, think about it, the whole household with Cornelius. The whole household ends up getting saved and being born because Peter comes in there with the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy coming on them so he can get in them.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Cornelius is affected by the realm.
Yeah.
Peter is infected by the indwelling.
Yes.
Wow.
Got it?
Yes.
All right. Number two, the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is given to the born again believer. Okay. The spirit of prophecy comes and hovers over everybody. The gift of prophecy will come on and is in, I should say, the born again believer. Now, this gift is not given to those who are not saved, who are not born again. No, no. But I'm going to show you some things about that. Also, not every believer has the gift of prophecy. So don't worry about it if it's just not something that you don't do. It doesn't mean you have to prophesy because 2/3 of our church prophesies. It doesn't mean you have to, and you don't have to feel bad about that. But there are 9 gifts of the Spirit, and although that may not be the one you operate in, the Bible says that out of those 9 that we should desire the gifts of the Spirit. And so we need to do that. So they're like a birthday gift that Jesus gives you. You're born again and he says, here's your gifts. All 9 of them. Amen. Over in Corinthians. Okay. So here's the difference between the gift of prophecy and the spirit of prophecy now. The spirit of prophecy is for the world and the church. When the Spirit pours out, it's a move of God that no human can control.
Amen.
We want that now. Amen. And that's what you're seeing in this awakening. The gift of prophecy is given to the believer to build up the body of Christ. It doesn't mean it's not the word of knowledge is not used out there, but remember this. They're being affected by the Spirit coming on them. Okay, so then someone who is a member of the body of Christ gets to do this. So the gifts of the Spirit do not work upon the believer. They work in and through the believer. Now, there's a reason that I'm pointing this out. And it is because, you need to see this. Unlike the spirit of prophecy, which stirs you up, you have to stir it up. Amen. You have to stir up the gift that's within you. Yeah. The glory will just stir you up. Mm-hmm. Your wood's really wet. Amen. I'll leave it like that. So you have to stir up the gift of prophecy. Y'all get that. So I'll give you scripture for that. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." And so he released those gifts on people as we do today, and they operate in them. Now you cannot control Holy Spirit, but you can control the gift. Mm-hmm. Spirit subject to the prophet. Yeah, you can control that. You don't have to go, "I couldn't help it. I know it was a teaching meeting, but I'm just going to break out in the middle and disturb everything because I couldn't help it." No, not the gift. It's subject to you. You can control it. Okay. So, The spirit of prophecy can be taken away by grief, vexation, sorrow, but the gift of prophecy can never be taken away. It may get very weak on people that don't use it. It's like a dead spiritual, it's more like a dead spiritual muscle. It never becomes dead. But it's like a spiritual muscle that becomes weak. It doesn't die. Why? Because the Bible says the gifts and callings of God are what?
Without repentance.
So if you got that gift, if it landed on you, if that's the one that Jesus gave you, whether you use it or not, whether it's dormant or not, it's on you. The same thing is if you were called to the fivefold ministry and you never answered that call, it's still there. Thank you, Margaret. Now, on the other side, you can energize the gift, and a lot of times you can energize it during a crisis. I just thought I'd tell you that. Just thought I'd tell you that. That was free. Okay, now, number three, the office of the prophet. Are we getting the whole picture now? Is the picture growing here? Okay, now the foundation stone of the church is the apostle and the prophet. And these are the two that religion tried to take out. They just wanted pastors and evangelists. And so apostle and prophet aren't mentioned in some churches today. But it's interesting because they've never been taken out of the Bible. So, once again, I'm not going to bother to talk to you about the church's theology because you are already way past that stuff. But the office of the prophet, listen to me, predates the gift of prophecy. It predates being born again. What? Walk with me.
Yeah.
It does. It predates being born again. This means that you can have the call on your life before you receive Jesus. As your Lord and Savior. And I'm going to tell you, it can just predate your birth and your born again experience. And now I have scripture for that. And I've been quoting it to you for a week already. Jeremiah 1:4. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So ordination comes when those, okay, so I'm going to use a parable. I'm just kind of making this up, but you see it. When God sends that little spirit, he goes, prophet, and he throws it down there to mama, whoever. And daddy gets involved and boom, they make something there and that calling's on them. Can you just kind of see that? Just yeah. Kind of having fun with it. That little spirit, he knew you.
Yes.
The breath of God is that was you.
Amen.
You were created, so you're the breath of God. You, and God blew you into your brand new little fish looking eggy nostrils down there and praise the Lord. Okay. So prophets are called from the womb. And the prophetic office grows on the basis of good stewardship of revelation received. Okay. So prophets have to prove their ministry. Okay. They have to prove their ministry. And here's the big word for the prophets. I was talking to Danny about this today. The big word for prophets is this. Risk.
Mm-hmm.
Risk.
Yeah.
And so they have to be able to take risks. To carry revelation is not enough. It has to be dispensed during the time frame that it's called for. It has to be dispensed when it's called for. It can't remain a concealed truth. So every revelation is time sensitive and is intended for the prophet's elevation. So things are working on both sides. They get something from God. They need to release that in a timely manner. It gets out there to help what's going on in the world, and it kind of backfires on them and pushes them up.
Yeah.
And they're proving themselves by taking the risk and releasing what God has given them.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Okay, so the moment they miss the declaration window between revelation and manifestation, they miss that vital elevation. I hope if that's just relax in that. You'll get it. That's what God wanted to give them. So, the reason I say that is because the elevation is important, for God's name to be glorified in the higher echelons. This is God going, there's my man, there's my woman, there's this, they're going higher, they're pushing forward, and God gets the glory. Okay. Now, just back to the ABCs of this. If you have the gift of prophecy, it has nothing to do with you being a prophet. Okay? The prophet will use way more gifts. They'll use word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, some other things. But word of wisdom, big time. Word of wisdom has to do with when you hear someone who has that kind of gifting, they're going to say, you are going to da-da-da. It's not about, I see the word of the Lord is telling me that you have been suffering and da-da-da-da. This is about you're going to do something. Does that help y'all?
Yeah.
Y'all get it? It's a little bit more about future. It's about destiny more. Okay, not to say that prophecy doesn't pull out destiny. It does, but there's a deeper lane in the office of the prophet. Okay. All right. Knowing that you're a prophet is not enough. You have to risk and take the steps to move in to everything that God's calling you to do. That's why some people stay on levels, because they don't want to risk it. I don't know if I want to say that. I don't know. For instance, me. I held back a lot of years because I didn't trust what I was hearing. I was doing it, but I mean, I started when I was 21, but I was not comfortable stepping out into these places. To me now, it's easy. But I had to prove my ministry by risking and stepping out into these things and saying some things that almost seem a little crazy.
Yep.
Okay, now, I know I've said now a lot, but I'm just trying to walk through this. So knowing that your prophet is not enough, a church, a city, a nation must receive you based on your track record. Has anything you've said come to pass? So it's really helpful when it does. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Number four, the friend of God. So I'm just going to tell you right now that this is the greatest achievement of the prophetic. This is the number one place you want to get to. And this is attainable through all the faculties of operation. Everything that I've talked about, all three of the others, you can attain this relationship through those. You can, the spirit of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, the office of the prophet, they can all move you into this place. Okay. But I want you to see a couple of things. Man was called a friend long before the salvation package came along.
Yeah.
This is Isaiah 41:8. It says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." So Abraham was a friend long before Jesus came.
Yeah.
And this is a unique privilege, to be a friend of God. And you can sing, "I am a friend of God," all day long, and you might not be a friend of God. I'm just going to tell you right now. You just don't automatically get that. Yeah. I may tell you something very shocking right now. God loves everyone. He loves the church. He loves the world. But he doesn't like everyone. What? No. No, he doesn't. He loves everyone, but he doesn't like everyone. It's quiet in the church. See, to be loved by God means his son died for you. To be liked by God means his son lives for you, with you, and in you.
Yeah. That's good.
That's different. Moses and Aaron and Miriam were all three prophets, brothers and sister. Mm-hmm. But Miriam and Aaron got to making a little judgment about Moses since he married a black woman. Remember that?
Yeah.
And they were deciding that maybe he wasn't so anointed. Remember that? Now, they were prophets. Bible says so. And God loved all three of them. But he didn't like two of them. And as far as God was concerned, you don't mess with my man Moses. That's my friend. Exodus 33:11 said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend." Now, do you realize that Moses had the ability to change God's mind? I mean, God's like, "Just let me kill him. I'm tired." I'm telling it raw. You understand God is good, and he wasn't the actual. It was their sowing and reaping that would have come in if he would have stepped back with his grace. Sowing and reaping could have taken him out. But Moses said, "Now, you don't want to do that." He changed God's mind.
Yes, he did.
Can you change God's mind? Abraham changed God's mind. Will you do it for 50? Will you do it for 40? Will you save it? Would you do it? And he goes down and God's going, oh, okay. Okay. Both of those guys were friends. They're friends of God. The biblical definition of a friend is someone who you can share secrets with, someone who you can confide in to tell them what you're about to do. Not all prophets are friends, but all friends are prophets. In a sense, all friends are prophets in a sense. So you may never be a prophet by office, but you can be a friend of God. And to be God's friend, would you like to know how to be God's friend? Because it only requires one thing. Just one thing to be God's friend. That's all it takes. It only takes one thing. Anybody want to know?
Yeah.
Nobody wants to know?
I do.
Want me to father out right now and y'all can just pray about it? Y'all can hear God. Y'all pick it up on your own. Tell me on Sunday. The one thing you need is to fear God. And I don't mean be afraid. I mean reverence him. Worship him. That's the one thing you need to be a friend of God, is that you respect him. That's what you need with God. You just need to respect him and you need to honor him and worship him. That's all you need. All the faculties of the prophetic, the spirit of prophecy, gift of prophecy, office of the prophet, friend of God, requires that you honor God and respect him. That's all it is, just showing honor. There are three G's that you never want to mess with when it comes to God. Number one, God's gold. Number two, God's girls. And guys. And number three, God's glory. See, you can't say you honor God if you don't give to him extravagantly financially. If it's like, I'm going to try to give God this, that's not honor. Lord, what do you want? What do you want? You're the one that gives me the seed to sow anyway. What do you want? I love you extravagantly. I want to be like Joseph of Arimathea. He gave, even at the point of Jesus being dead, he was given a great gift. What about the woman who washed Jesus' feet with the ointment? What about all those people that followed him around and blessed his ministry and gave him gift? What about that? What about the people who have given to get the gospel around the world? They're giving that to Jesus. They're loving him extravagantly. Amen. So that's important. And you can't say you honor God if you do not respect and honor boundaries with the opposite sex and give them no room for the devil. I got three amens and a wow. Yeah? Yeah. There should be a respect, and I could say opposite. Did y'all know the spell corrector tried to change that in my notes? I like it. Respecting the opposite sex and giving no room for the devil to get in. That's honoring God. You know, with the teenagers, they try to get too huggy. We should just walk up right to them and say, make room for Jesus.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's good.
It is the truth. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Talking about not messing with God's girls or boys. Don't mess with them.
Right.
Don't mess with them.
Right.
Praise the Lord. And the glory of God. You can't say you honor God if you take his glory to yourself. Man, I did that good. Wow, I was good at that. Man, I'm just so great. No. God gets glory. Did I do good? Well, who cares? People will tell you if you think so, and you take the compliment. Don't reject them, but then you go give it to Jesus. Amen. I always just say, isn't the Holy Ghost good? Yeah. Isn't the Holy Spirit good? Amen. We don't take God's glory. Yeah. Now, I'm going to stretch it out a little bit and tell you something. We prayed, I prayed, and da-da-da.
All right. Well.
Come on. I think we need two wells. Come on. All right. We prayed and da-da-da. How about just God did it? God broke through. Well, you want the glory because you prayed? No. You're like, well, aren't you just being a little... But see, we're training, okay? We're training. We're training to respect and honor. And if we're training to respect and honor, we're going to give him all the glory. And when you give him all the glory... He your friend. He'll be your friend. He is a good friend. Amen. He's the friend you want. You remember what Jesus said to the disciples over in John 15? He says, I've called you friends because whatever the Father tells me, I'm going to tell you. That's why Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back. But only the Father knows, because if Jesus knew, he'd tell you. Because he said he would tell the Holy Spirit to tell us. He's not keeping anything from you. Amen. You see where I'm going with that? But the truth is, if he's calling you friend, that's when you hear things. That's when you hear the things you need to hear. That's how you're going to hear. Just respect. I mean, Jesus, the Holy Spirit's saying, what you want, baby, I got. What you need, you know I got it. All I'm asking is for just a little respect. Just a little bit. Hey, baby. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful singing the song. It's just the truth. God deserves the glory. He deserves the respect. He deserves the honor for every good thing that has happened to us. We need to just quit polishing ourselves up. And we're not in a competition.
No, we're not.
Well, our church does this and our church does that. Well, praise God, we're a spirit-filled, word-walking, word-talking, good church. But we don't have to think that we're extra special. Well, you kind of do. But on the side that Daddy loves you,
yeah. Right. Yeah.
You need to feel special.
Right.
But you don't have to be elite about it. We're the ones. We're the one God will use. Maybe not if you have that attitude. All right, I'm finished, but I just wanted to go ahead and meddle a little bit there. So we're not the spotlight church. We're not the spotlight. So the four anatomies are of the prophetic are the spirit of prophecy. That's when the realm comes in on people. And then the gift of prophecy, that's the gift that God heard you, gave you, and you will get utterances and encouragements for people. I'm going to pause right there and say this. It is very important that if you operate in that gift, that if you're reading someone's mail, that you learn how to interpret the word so that you do not publicly hurt someone. And number three, the office of the prophet. Just because you have the gift of prophecy has nothing to do with the office of the prophet. And then the friend, which that's what I want to be above all, and I hope you do too. I want to be the friend of God. Amen. Y'all received that today? Father, we thank you for the anointing on this word. We thank you, Lord, that this is able to help us learn how to listen. We can listen and we can put things in the right category in our thinking. I thank you, Lord, that you bless this time, that you bless this word in the name of Jesus. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye now.